to not include. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Hopefully this will load. Okay, thanks very much. I appreciate Michael Cunningham's willingness to shift spaces in the agenda. I have a meeting I have to get to at noon in Los Angeles, so I will. My story is relatively short anyway, and Susie Spear should be giving this talk. She did the work on this project. I just sort of tagged along as the person who signed the papers, but this has been a fascinating project for me. When this first, the announcement came out from SAMHSA to do screening and brief intervention on college campuses, my colleague Vivian Brown said, we really should do this at UCLA, and I have a long-standing history working with the Student Psychological Services, and I think we should try to do it in that setting. Seemed like a good enough idea to me. We wrote the grant, and actually Susie wrote the grant, and we funded it, or it was funded. And for the last 3 years, we've been implementing screening and brief intervention on a mental health clinic and a counseling center on the campus at UCLA. Now, we had a history where we've used the assist. I had no financial relationships to disclose on this. We'd been doing some work with the assist because we do work with the World Health Organization, and so this was an instrument we were familiar with, and it seemed as if it may be a good fit for the campus setting, the mental health setting. We met with the campus mental health clinic. They agreed to participate in this. They have a large staff of mental health therapists at UCLA. UCLA has about 50,000 students. And so they see about 6,000 kids a year in their counseling center. So it seemed like a good place to consider doing this. And many of the other campus projects, and Joe will talk about a different one, which is one of the interesting things about this campus initiative, is that everybody did something different and looked at different models and used different screeners. And so we had a really interesting array of information. When we met with the mental health staff at the campus counseling center, these were all trained MFTs, MSWs, and psychologists. When we asked about the degree to which they screened for substance abuse, they all said, oh yes, they screened for substance abuse generally as part of their practice. When you actually found out what they did, none of them screened, or virtually none of them. There was one that had actually had a counseling certificate in substance abuse, and that young woman did screen her patients, but she was the only one out of the whole staff. So this was something that was not naturally being done. You may think in a mental health setting this is naturally part of an interview process, but it wasn't, and on college campuses, we know the epidemiology of substance abuse on college campuses is high. So it did seem like a good place to introduce this. One of the things we were interested, though, is the acceptability of this in settings. There's been, the World Health Organization has done a lot of work in developing this screening and brief intervention instrument, the ASSIST, and they've collected, as Jack mentioned, a lot of good data. However, there have been some difficulties in getting it implemented, and we found that out when we once we got started on campus at UCLA. When we went next door to the Arthur Ashe Health Center, where they do screening, where they do medical services, and talked to them about implementing this, we learned that this was not a no-brainer to get implemented. But the ASSIST is. Stands for alcohol, tobacco, and it screens for alcohol, tobacco, and other psychoactive substances. It was developed for primary care, has 8 questions about drug and alcohol use, and then a brief intervention that is takes about 15 minutes and is made up of these steps. It really is sort of an awareness-raising, using motivational interviewing strategies. And so it's a very simple, straightforward intervention that these mental health counselors were able to learn and do quite readily. And we looked at fidelity and we measured whether or not they were actually able to do the assist as it was designed, and they were. The screening takes about 5 minutes. The brief intervention takes another 10 to 15 minutes, and it's all done in one session. So we thought that our rationale was it would be, since we know in mental health populations the rate of substance abuse comorbidity is very high, that in many ways we might get bigger bang for our buck in the mental health service and in the primary care service, but that was still has to be addressed. And this is the student psych services. They have 20 staff, LCSWs, psychologists and MDs, and some interns. But they were all trained to do the assist and entered this process. We start with a pre-screener. Every student that comes in for counseling services does a four-item pre-screener that asks about alcohol use in the last 30 days, drug use in the last 30 days, and days of where you drank four or more drinks at any one time. If they score, and the pre-screen, basically if you get a yes to any of those items, then they went in to do the full assist. The therapist would then do the assist in the first session and do the brief intervention if appropriate or referral to treatment. We did a process evaluation to look at the how the therapist felt about this process, whether this was something that they felt was useful or not. All students who came in during this, we ran this for about 15 months, 6,700 students went through the pre-screen. Of those, over a third scored positive on the pre-screen, 38%. And of the students who screened positive on the pre-screen, 60% received the brief intervention. That is, the pre-screen was able to narrow down, knock out about two-thirds of the subjects who really didn't have any substance abuse to speak of, substance use to speak of. And of the remaining group that where we use the assist, 60% required a brief intervention or treatment, actually. There were about 40 kids out of the 1,400 who actually were referred to treatment. The thing that we felt was useful about the assist was that it does has a range of substances. We actually added a few items or some language to make sure we screen for prescription drugs, since on campuses that's an increasing problem, and we wanted to make sure we explicitly look for that. We found that the staff became much more aware of the issue of substance abuse, and we, in terms of the data we collected from the staff, they did feel it was an intervention that fit reasonably well into their process. Now, they were insistent that they didn't want to do the assist on everybody as part of their first session, that this pre-screen, which was done at the time that kids were filling out their initial intake, was an important screener so that they could spend their time on the assist on those with higher rates of substance use. There were some that were resistant. This was not 100% enthusiastic response. Many of them, I'm a research psychologist, I'm not a clinical psychologist, so I sometimes find my clinical colleagues tend to be, they all view themselves as artists, that, and the idea that their art was being interfered with by this structured thing that they had to do. There was some of that. Luckily, our colleague, Elizabeth Gongai, who's the director, was pretty much a very directive director, so she made it clear that this was going to be something they were going to do. And it did, over time, they did adapt it to their natural styles, but it still didn't, take away all of the resistance. Some of them felt that did interpersonal sort of non-directive kinds of therapies, that it didn't fit very well. They felt that they were having to, one of them actually said, you know, I'm a therapist, I'm not in the public health field. Well, we had a discussion around that topic as to what the public health field actually meant, and so that we had to do some teaching and encouragement around this, but we did get pretty good reception of their participation over time. So let me get to the, we did a lot of training around it, and we did have one staff member who was organized and oversaw the assist project. She wasn't paid by the project, but she was one of their regular staff people. And I think having a point person, this really comes out of the dissemination literature, having a champion within the system to do this, having a point person who can encourage that this stays being done was very important, and I think that really is. It doesn't just happen. You have to have actually someone paying attention to make sure it happens. We did find, and I think this slide got left out. Yeah, I apologize for this, but one of the things that was most interesting about this project was we offered to do the assist training for other campuses in Southern California. We had 15 campuses say, yes, we'd like to be trained. They sent staff people to UCLA. We trained about 30 of their staff. We just did a six-month follow-up, and of those 15 campuses, eight of them have responded that they've now instituted the assist within their student counseling centers. Several of the other ones say they're going to. They haven't gotten around to it yet. We just did a Northern California training with college campuses where we got another 12 campuses, and we haven't yet followed up on those to see if they were if they're going to implement it. It does seem like an intervention that within the mental health system fits very well. We do training under Prop 63 in Los Angeles County in the mental health system. We've added the assist to all of our training so that we're training in the mental health clinics to do screening and brief intervention. I do think this is a strategy which fits well within the mental health community. It's not generally being done in many places in the mental health community, and we were quite encouraged. The other thing we've just done is to do a computerized version, where, because at UCLA everything's computerized, the medical records are computerized, and we can, their kiosks are available in the waiting room for kids who now can do all their admission records right on the kiosk, and they now do the assist as part of their admission paperwork. When the clinician then picks up the packet, the printed out admission paperwork, the assist summary scores are right there for them to look at. And that's been a big time saver, and actually I think is something that we've gotten a lot of interest from WHO about disseminating this computerized version. I think this is a really fascinating initiative. Quite surprisingly for me personally, it really seem to be one of the ones that's generated a lot of interest among other college campuses in the state of California, and I'm an enthusiastic supporter of this. I would like to see more research done on the impact, particularly the referral and treatment part, because we were not that encouraged that many of the kids who did receive referral to treatment actually went to treatment. So that's a piece, I think, that needs some additional attention. Thank you. Sir, I have to run. Yeah. Yes, sir. Not that I know of. Not the assist. I'm not aware of it being tested at the high school level.
Thank you very much. Our next speakers are Mr. Michael Cunningham, who has had a long and varied career in health and human service policy with the state of California. Mr. Cunningham is the Chief Deputy Director for the California Department of Alcohol and Drug Programs and has worked on a number of years on the SPIRT initiative within the state of California.
Good morning, everyone. Let me get adjusted here. Let me